Next case is United States v. Gonzalez. Appellant may argue.
Chief Judge, members of the court, my name is Captain Rachel Atkins, and along with Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Carrier, we represent the appellant, Private Adrian Gonzalez. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you, Your Honor. The Army Court denied appellant a proper remand by mishandling his case when it overstepped authority by inserting this confusing innovation. Specifically, the Army Court's instruction to the convening authority, the advisory opinion as the appropriate amount of confinement and level of discharge was ultra vires. The Army Corps both remanded this case back down to the convening authority for the convening authority to handle, but also still inserted its influence on the convening authority's action.
Counsel, why did you complain at that time?
At what point, Your Honor?
When the CCA issued its opinion, including the language that you take issue with only now after the convening authority has acted.
So in the RCM 1105 matters, Your Honor?
Once it happened.
Once it happened?
You did in Wall.
Yes, Your Honor. While that is something that they could have done, we could have done in this case, Your Honor, we don't think that it's something that it was necessary. The defense is allowed to try to resolve something at a lower level, and that is what, in the case of the appellant, they did, was try to get relief at a lower level. And the appellant did ask the convening authority, that was something within the convening authority's power, was to reassess.
Did they put in that matter, and by the way, what the CCA told you is outside of its authority to do, and therefore, you should give us what you think. You didn't. I'm asking you a rhetorical question because you didn't.
Yes, Your Honor. That would have been an exercise in futility because the convening authority would not have had the authority to ignore what the Criminal Court of Appeals did. And so there was...
Well, but your argument in the last case was that the Criminal Court of Appeals didn't have the authority to do what it did, and that the convening authority under Article 60 had the absolute authority to do whatever he or she wanted. I'm just saying you can't have it both ways.
Yes, Your Honor, but we believe that the trying to have it both ways and that awkward timeliness of the sequence is something that was created by the Army Court of Criminal Appeals acting out of sequence. So we have both binding language from the Court of Criminal Appeals, but also the unfettered discretion of the convening authority to do whatever he wanted. And so, and especially in this case, Your Honor, where we see what the convening authority did, and he got the exact number that the Army Court told him was appropriate.
One question. This case is, of course, as has already been pointed out, this case is in a different procedural posture from Wall, which raises the question of why isn't this issue waived? It's one thing to say, I think CCA exceeded its powers and blah, 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 and let's see what the convening authority does. It's another thing to go along with it, submit matter in extenuation, matter sensing material, the convening authority. Why didn't that constitute waiver of this issue by the appellant?
If waiver is a voluntary relinquishment of a known right.
Right, or a voluntary, he didn't have to do it, he voluntarily did it.
This creation of this new step is this. It's a novel issue. So if we're starting with that, the Court of Criminal Appeals is it the outer boundaries of Article 66 is why they're doing this. We shouldn't hold the appellant to know how to handle this procedurally. If we have two cases here today, which one is ripe and which one is
ripe? Well, I don't think the appellant was responsible for trial or appellate strategy. I presume his counsel were.
Yes, Your Honor.
So I once again ask, why didn't that constitute? Why didn't, not only going along with this whole charade, as you guys call it, you guys think it is, constitute waiver of the issue?
Appellant has the ability to try to resolve it at the lower echelon and to advocate for potentially get a better redress at the lower level. But
and then, and only then, when that failed to happen, did he complain about it, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And
that's called gaming the system, isn't it? And that's part of why we have waiver rules to begin with, isn't it? To require people to raise complaints so that they can be resolved at the earliest opportunity that's legally permissible.
Your Honor, we have waiver rules swift at the trial level, but in our system, we don't have that at the appellate level, and we've never applied it before. And so we do not think that the broader issue that this is the time to start applying appellate waiver. And if this court is going to start applying a strict waiver approach, that it shouldn't be held against this appellant if this rule is not before in place.
Captain Atkins, on that issue, didn't the CCA consider this the same case? I mean, when they remand it back and they await for the new CA's action and it comes back up, don't they consider it the same case, or do you know? And I'm asking because it seems like the record might indicate that it returned to the CCA the same docket number. So is that some instance or some inference that they consider it the same case, which would mean that it doesn't matter when you bring it up? Seems to me. It doesn't matter when you raise this issue. If this is the same case, and I'm asking you, you don't have to agree with me, but I'm asking you, if it's the same case, does it matter whether you raise the issue down there or you raise it once it comes back to the CCA, if the CCA considers this the same case?
Under the CCA's Article 66, the broad discretion to review the entire case, the factual and legal sufficiency, it's why we don't have appellate waiver, because they are reviewing the case in its whole. So this is reviewed at that point. And then when it comes back, yes, the appellate court in this case did review it then with the entirety of appellant's RCM 1105 matters.
Mm-hmm. Now we can have our poison pen carrying law clerks check the record, I suppose. But I'm assuming that, would you agree with me what I just said, that if this is the same case, that in fact he could raise the issue at any point, then it wouldn't be waiver?
He could raise the issue at any point and then what?
It wouldn't be waiver. You probably kind of guess where I'm coming from, but that's besides the point. If this is the same case, I'm asking you again, would it matter whether he raised it down there at the CCA's or at the CA's review, or whether he raised it back here upon or back at the CCA, I should say, when it returns?
Our position is that he doesn't have to raise it at any point until he gets to here, because this is
until he gets to our court?
Prevent issue preclusion.
Mm-hmm.
That failing to raise it at any level below does not trigger issue preclusion at this level.
Right.
Because to raise it at any of the lower levels would have been an exercise in futility. You're asking the lower echelon to ask a convening authority to ignore this. They can't.
So your position then, just to be clear, is that an accused can fail to raise ineffective assistance of counsel to the CCA, fail to raise it to the convening authority, and then and only then raise it to us? And that we would not say that it's too late.
Your Honor,
and I realize that who knows what the court has done in the past and was asking as a matter of normal law. Is that how other courts treat that?
Federal system, yes, has appellate waiver, but this court does not. And the different.
You know why it doesn't?
Because the Article 66, everything is being reviewed at that point because they have the factual sufficiency and the legal sufficiency.
Well, everything that they're reviewing is different than everything that we're reviewing, right? Because we review what they've reviewed. And so if you didn't raise it to them, how do we review it?
If it's not something that is reviewed and other cases have done this, then you send it back down for them to first review it. before you review it. If it's raised at the first time at this level, you can send it back down for the Army Court to review it, but it's still in your discretion to eventually review it. It is not, issue preclusion is not triggered.
Counsel, may I shift gears just a little bit and ask about the difference between this court and the CCAs? This wasn't really in the briefs for either party, but our own research has disclosed that on several occasions this court has sent a case back down to the CCA for sentence reassessment, and we have imposed limitations on what the CA can do. Perhaps the most famous of those cases is Moreno. Does this court have authority when we send back a case to the CA to put a limit on the CA's sentence reassessment? And if so, where does that come from? And if we can do it, why can't the CCAs do it?
May I address that question in rebuttal, Your Honor? Ending your questions. We'd ask that the strike the language or to return this case for proper Article 66 review.
Thank you, Counsel. Counsel for the government.
Chief Judge Stuckey and judges of the court, may it please the court. My name is Captain Lauren Carr, and along with Major Dustin Myrie, we represent the government. Appellant waived any objection to the Army Court's instructions on remand when he specifically requested that the convening authority reassess the sentence and then use the confinement cap to argue for a comparatively more lenient sentence. Waiver is the intentional relinquishment of a known right, and in this case, appellant knew he had a right to a rehearing and specifically advocated for another course of action. This constitutes a valid waiver. In United States versus Ahern, this court addressed two different ways to look at waiver. First, either expressed through a rule, and secondly, based off of conduct. That analysis was done under United States versus Campos. And in Campos, the court looked at a three-part test. One, whether or not appellant knew of the content that was at issue, whether or not there was an objection to that particular issue or content, and three, how that content or issue was used by appellant. In this particular case, there was waiver based off of appellant's actions because not only did he fail to object to the Army Court's instructions and the cap, but actually advocated for the use of the third option that was given by the Army Court and the use of the confinement cap in order to argue for a comparatively more lenient sentence.
Counsel, may I ask you something about the government's position, which is, in the previous case, the Wall case, the government said that the case wasn't ripe, that it come up here and we didn't know what the convening authority was going to do, and so there was no injury yet because, for all anybody knew, if the case went back down to the convening authority might have picked options one or two, and so there's no prejudice. And now in this case, you're saying that it was waived, and it seems a little inconsistent. I'm hoping maybe you can say how it's not inconsistent to say it's too early to raise it when it first comes up here, but then it's too late to raise it after the convening authority has acted. Are you suggesting that they should have raised it at the convening authority level? And how would that look? Would they say, CCA has said there's a cap on the sentence, but ignore that cap? I mean, that seems really not like something you could ask the appellant to do.
Yes, Your Honor. In this case, the appellant was not under any obligation to address what the CCA did in the 1105 matters. It would not have yet been ripe at that point in time. However, because the appellant took affirmative action in those 1105 matters, specifically requesting a course of action, he waived his right to a rehearing at that point, even before we got to whether or not this case would have been ripe.
Counsel, in your view, should appellant have raised the issue in a motion for reconsideration at the CCA level? Should they have done what Wall did in this case and petitioned this court saying that it was error before it was ever returned to the community authority? Or is it only because he affirmatively used it as an argument point for a lower sentence during the 1105 matters that it's waived? Or at both?
Your Honor, the government believes that this case can be decided on very narrow grounds, and that is that appellant affirmatively waived his right to a rehearing in the 1105 matters, and the court need not go beyond.
Just teasing out a little bit about your rationale. Are you saying, though, and I think this is what Judge Ryan was getting at, is was it simply the acknowledgement that there was this reassessment, or was it the exploitation?
Your Honor, it would have been the exploitation. It was the use.
That's what resulted in the waiver.
Yes, Your Honor, and that's what follows the Campos analysis, that really that third portion of the analysis where instead of failing to object, where in some instances that may constitute a waiver or not, appellant affirmatively used the landscape that was set by the Army Court in an attempt for it to be to his benefit. It was only at the point when it was no longer beneficial to appellant that he then attempted to change strategy and suggest that this course of action was illegal or ultra-virus from the beginning.
So it's the government's position that essentially this appellant is getting two bites at the apple.
Yes,
they were
right.
Trying to get the benefit of not raising their concerns higher to the CCA and later to this court.
Correct, Your Honor.
By trying to get to exploit it before the committing authority, and then if they didn't like it.
Yes, Your Honor. Appellant got what he asked for. He just didn't get what he wanted in this case. And that's basically why they attempted to follow a certain course of action. And once the Army Court affirmed the sentence at 6 years, appellant took a different strategy in front of this court.
Counsel, leaving waiver aside for now, would you address the assigned issue?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did the court abuse its discretion? Well, first of all, what standard of review?
Your Honor, we're looking at an abuse of discretion standard with regard to reassessment.
Well, we're not looking at how they reassess. We're not looking at the quantum of the punishment. We're looking at something entirely different. We're looking at a purely legal question of their authority. Isn't that de novo?
Well, yes, Your Honor, a legal question would be de novo. The phrasing of the assigned issue asserts that the Army Court abused its discretion, but if we're looking simply at the authority of the Army Court, it was within its authority to lay out these options.
Well, number one, you agree that it's de novo?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
You agree it's de novo?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead.
So in this particular case, there is no authority that actually prohibits or prevents the Army Court from doing exactly what it did.
There's no authority. There's nothing that prohibits them from doing it. But 66 is not written that way. 66 is written that the court shall do X, the shall do Y.
Yes,
they shall conduct this kind of a review.
Yes, Your Honor.
There's nothing in there that says they shall not. So
where's
the positive authority in statute for them to do this?
It doesn't exist in statute, Your Honor.
Exist.
It would exist in the case law, which says that the Army Court or any CCA has the ability to conduct sentence appropriateness evaluations to determine whether or not a sentence is appropriate in law and in fact.
Doesn't that ordinarily happen during their 66 review? Right? I mean, they don't do it ahead of time and give the convening authority sort of a sneak peek of what they're thinking.
Your Honor, that's correct, but in this case, the Army Court chose to take a preliminary and non-binding look at the appropriateness of the sentence by using the Sales and Winkleman analysis, and then it gave the convening authority the option to choose from either a rehearing or a reassessment, where, in fact, the convening authority had the ability to adjust downward on the appropriate sentence of 6 years by providing clemency based off of appellant's 1105 matters. So the Army Court was essentially placing another cap in a series of caps upon this case that inured to the benefit of appellant.
Well, you say it's non-binding?
Correct, Your Honor. The first
reassessment. The action is non-binding.
Language, I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The action of the CCA is non-binding.
When the CCA originally did a preliminary reassessment and determined what the cap on reassessment would be for the convening authority, it was a non-binding cap at that time. It was a guideline for the convening authority.
The convening authority could blow them off.
The convening authority could act within its full discretion, and then the sentence would have still come back up to the Army Court to determine whether or not the sentence was appropriate in law and in fact. If anything, the convening authority, the Army Court bound itself to really its own analysis of what would be appropriate in the case, but the convening authority was in no way bound, and the appellant was in no way prejudiced by the action.
Then why are we here? Go ahead.
Your Honor, I think the simple answer is we're here to determine how we best address these issues, whether or not we need to send these cases back down or whether or not there's a way to resolve them in a different manner. And the government submits that in the interest of judicial economy and finality, this court should deny appellant's request for a rehearing because he already waived that right when he specifically requested another course of action, and you should affirm the sentence below. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Rebuttal.
If I could start by addressing Judge Madge's question as to Moreno. The authority of a higher appellate court over the lower appellate court may be different than when the service court directs a convening authority and the authority of the service court to direct that convening authority in a different situation may be different. Our argument in this particular case is that the statutes and rules make the convening authority a decision authority, and that decision is reviewed. In a different context, maybe a cap imposed by CAF or by ACCA or ACCA on a convening authority could be appropriate, but not.
So you're saying because this is, looking at this narrowly, this is the reassessment power of the convening authority at issue here?
Yes, Your Honor.
And so this might be different in some other context?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And to transition to waiver, in a trial, if you lose a suppression motion, maybe you then go and try a different defense. And that doesn't mean you are waiving a preserved suppression issue. And we do not challenge things in the abstract. We challenge them in a case. And here in Gonzales, we asked the convening authority for something that, if granted, would have mooted this issue. And he asked for something that was appropriately in the convening authority's authority to reassess the sentence.
Let me ask you this. What would have given the detailed defense counsel upon remand notice that there is an issue related to the CCA's authority to order this kind of a remand?
Nothing, Your Honor. I mean, that would have been on that defense counsel at that point to research whether this was something that was within the Army Court's authority to do, that puts that defense counsel in the position of having to ask the convening authority to do something that he's not allowed to do because he can't ignore the court.
Let's pretend like the defense counsel in this case is very diligent and did what, you know, kind of the law clerks up here do, and they went around and found these cases from the CAF, limiting what the convening authority could do. And he or she reasonably could decide, couldn't they, that, hey, wait a minute, apparently they can do this, that's not an issue. I should pursue an issue upon which I can get the best benefit for my client. How about that?
Your Honor, we would still say that that's not it wasn't a known right at that point because this is not.
No, I'm saying, what if.
But if they mistakenly thought it was something, but.
It's been put an issue here that our court itself has placed limitations on the convening authority, right? So what if the defense counsel had found those cases and said, well, look, there's no sense in me contesting the authority of the CCA. The grand poobahs up there at CAF have do the same thing.
Yes, Your Honor. And that would be a mistaken belief by the trial defense counsel to think that the Army Court could do it in Gonzalez's case.
Well, I don't know if it would be a mistake, but I'm just asking whether the issue here is whether or not counsel has waived the issue. And don't you have to be aware of something to waive it?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, that's our hope today, that it comes out that it was a mistaken belief to think that.
Don't fight me on this now.
Yes, Your Honor. But because it was novel, because it's an innovation, to say bluntly, it's not a thing that we do. It is not a procedural step that we have. It is not a power within the Army Corps' ability. That's why it can't be waived, because it's just not a step we have in the process. And to hold that prejudice against the appellant for not raising it previously, in this awkward sequence that we're in, it should not be held against.
I understand.
So if it's not waiver, is it IAC? I mean, I realize IAC is not raised here. But you seem to be saying that.
Your Honor, we would believe that.
Or you're just saying it's so novel.
It's like the
rule against perpetuities. It's not malpractice to misapply it because nobody knows what it means.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
To the point that, just briefly, the point that the government made about adjusting downward, as we previously discussed, that the convening authority had the discretion to go downward. That again just shows the bias that was created, that this was an anchor and that they could only go down from where they started. Specifically in this case, we know that he got to the exact numbers, and we would point the court to the appellant's extensive 1105 matters at Joint Appendix, page 184. He made every effort to rehabilitate himself. He's a model prisoner. He's been voted among his peers as a member of the Inmate Advisory Council and liaisons between inmates and staff, treatment programs, education. None of these matters were before the Court of Criminal Appeals when they got to this number. I've seen my time has expired.
Yes.
It wasn't before that. So that number is premature, and it's inaccurate because it's not
your time. You know, your time has expired. Why do you continue to speak?
I'm sorry.
Thank you, counsel. Court thanks counsel for both sides. Case is now submitted. Court is in recess until 09:30 tomorrow.